Good morning. This is Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941. That surprise attack left some 3,000 plus lives destroyed and a great deal of the Pacific Fleet in very, very bad shape. The next day, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke before a joint session of Congress, and in that speech he declared that this would be a date which will live in infamy. An hour later, the United States Congress voted to declare war on Japan. And that war was then going to continue on, was not concluded until peace terms were signed September 2nd, 1945 on VJ Day, in the USS Missouri, when the peace terms were signed. This morning I'm talking about D-Day for the believer, and I understand that D-Day, as we often express that, is the day June 6th, 1944, the Normandy invasion. But I want us to think today of D-Day as the day of infamy in relationship to the attack on Pearl Harbor, but also in terms of a different kind of D-Day, and that is D-Day for the believer in light of Deliverance Day. How many have been delivered? Praise God for His perfect deliverance. This morning, as we examine His Word, we're going to look at His provision for us, and we're going to see His deliverance is really in three aspects. What He has delivered us from, what He is daily delivering us through, and what He will one day deliver us to as we get to the end of our lives and ultimately to the end of time. So I'd like for you to follow with me, if you would, in the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is a powerful passage of Scripture. Many things could be said about the introduction. Including the fact that this is a very powerful passage for you to have in your armament to recognize that the times of suffering that you experience is a time of preparation for ministry. Because as you are comforted by the Lord, by His Spirit, by His Word, by His people, as you go through a trial and a test, that is an equipping for you to comfort others with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted. So as you go through whatever trial it might be in your life or that you are going through right now, welcome it as a gift from God for equipping for how you can be used of Him in ministering in the lives of others. Paul recognized in his own life the trials and sufferings that he experienced were times of equipping for him to minister to others and to teach them how they could minister to others who had special need. I want to call our attention particularly to verse 10. Verse 10, speaking of Christ who delivered us from so great a death. Who delivered us from so great a death. As we think in terms of that, we look at a past tense representation there. Who delivered us? Past tense. What Paul is talking about here has many aspects, and we're going to look at different passages that address that. And the first one that's there in your outline is in Isaiah 61, verse 1, where we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." As we look at that passage of Scripture, if we were to wonder who does this speak of, we do not need to look any further than Luke chapter 4, in which Christ gives us the answer to who is that speaking of. In Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus went to Nazareth, where He was raised. And as His manner was, as He faithfully did, He went to the synagogue. As he went into the synagogue, he took the privilege and the opportunity to read from the scroll. The scripture says that he opened up the scroll and he began to read, and the place where he began to read is from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. As it's recorded in Luke 4:18, this is what is declared. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When Jesus finished that declaration, he said this. He closed the scroll and he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. He's saying, today I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has sent me to do these specific things. Now, most of you are aware that the consequence was his own people of Nazareth turned on him, took him out, and would have thrown him off the cliff if God had not delivered him out of their hands. But the declaration that I want us to see here is that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from captivity, to deliver us from prison, to take us out of the captivity that we have because of sin and that ultimate judgment that is rightfully ours, which will be death if we do not repent. Most of you have these scriptures memorized, but just for reminder's sake, we read in the scripture, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The scripture further speaks to us in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. It says, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The scripture says, Romans 6:23a, the wages of sin is death. Christ came to deliver those who were captive to death, to sin, in bondage, to deliver us from the sentence of death that's in ourselves. In verse 9, Paul writes about himself, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I'll talk more about that in a moment, but you and I had the same sentence of death upon us. We were born as Adam's seed. We came forth proving that we were sinners by sinning, and the rightful judgment that we faced was eternal separation from God. But the Lord Jesus came to set the captives free. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, we read these words. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus is spoken of here as the servant that is going to do this very thing. Again, setting the captive free. The prisoner is going to be taken out. Let me ask you a question. What is death row? What is death row? A person who has been convicted of a capital crime is in prison, he has a sentence of what upon him? Death. In death row, as he has that sentence of death upon him, there is presumably a date somewhere recorded that says, on this day, this person will die for this crime. And then explain what the process is as to how he is to die, whether lethal injection, electrocution, shot, whatever the case might be. As we think in terms of that very thing, the reality is every one of us, as we were born as the seed of Adam, we were born and we were placed on death row. Amen? Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every man to what? To die. And after that, judgment. Listen to me. If Christ had not come, there would be no deliverance. We read there in Romans chapter 5 that death came by Adam, or that all have sinned. And then we also read further that death had passed down upon all men. Universal death, with the exception of the two that God miraculously snatched out, I think a prefiguring of the rapture, with those two exceptions, everyone else died. Why? The wages of sin is death. And Christ came to deliver those that were bound unto death. They were on death row. Colossians 1:13 speaks of the Lord Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is another message of his deliverance, past tense. He delivered us from darkness. Ephesians chapter 2 says that you who were dead in your trespasses and sin have been quickened. You've been made alive. You have been brought out of darkness, because prior to your salvation, you walked, you lived, so did I, in darkness. We were the servants of Satan. We lived under that domination of his power, and we sinned because we were sinners, and he was calling the shots, as it were, within our life. But Christ has delivered us from that power of darkness. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This morning, every human being on the face of the earth that is not walking in the light of Jesus Christ is still walking in darkness. Say, Pastor, don't you believe everybody's going to go to heaven? Not if they're not born again. Jesus said it. You must be born again. And those that are not walking in light are walking in darkness. And in that blindness, in that darkness, the God of this age has blinded them, lest they see the glorious light that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world in which the overwhelming population of the world is still in darkness, in spite of the fact that Christ came, who could deliver out of the power of darkness. Romans 7, verse 6 says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." We are so blessed to have been delivered from the law. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, if you need an explanation, all you need to do is go read the book of Leviticus. Read through the book of Leviticus and find out all the things that you would be doing if you were under the law. The sacrifices you would bring, all the things that are there. And here's the reality. As you read what the law says, you will find you are already condemned. And listen, God never gave the law believing that man could keep it. God gave the law reflecting his holy character and thereby given a measurement for man to show man he couldn't reach that measure. He could not get the standard that God had set. And sin is a violation, a missing of the mark of the holiness of God. And we have been delivered from the law. And as we were delivered from the law, we were delivered unto grace. And by grace, now we have been saved through faith. And it's not a gift of what? Works, keeping the law. Otherwise, we would what? Boast. And the goodness of us being delivered from the law is this, that having been delivered from the law, now, by God's marvelous grace, I do not have to daily try to keep the law. Because my Bible says if I could keep the whole law and break it in just one point, I'm guilty of violating it all. How many are glad today that we've got grace instead of law? He hath delivered us. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul is writing to the believers there in Thessalonica, and he has begun his introduction, and he has praised them for their faithfulness and even under persecution, how they've gone forward. And then he also addresses that they had turned from idols to serve the true and living God. And then in verse 10 he says, "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now listen to me. That is past tense. If you're a believer this morning, you were delivered from the wrath to come when Christ died, was buried, rose again on your behalf. That deliverance took place there. It's imputed to your life at the moment of your salvation, but it was accomplished at his death, burial, and resurrection. It is an accomplished thing that we by faith apply unto our life, and it's imputed unto us as righteousness by his grace. Galatians 1:4, speaking again of Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. As Christ died, gave himself for our sins, friends, listen to me, the power of the nature of sin on our life was broken through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, if you please, before our salvation is that we were citizens of this world. The prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, he was the ruler within our life. With the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, now, Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21 says, now we are citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. How many are glad for that today? How many would say today would be a good day to kind of move on in and claim that citizenship paper in heaven? Because that's where we're headed. And the result is we no longer need to set our affection on things on this earth, but things above. And furthermore, John writes in about 90 A.D., love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of that is passing away. So don't love the world. Don't come back and cling to the things of the world. Once you have been delivered by Christ from this present evil world. There are many other passages that we could investigate that speak to what happened for us at the moment of salvation, what we were delivered from. But come back to the passage in 2 Corinthians. Paul is describing something in regard to himself there in verse 8 and 9. And he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came upon us in Asia. Notice these phrases. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul is writing about a circumstance that it seems to show us and tell us here that he despaired even of life. He felt that it looked like this was it, that he was fixing to die. But then he launches into verse 10, and it says he's been delivered from that great death that we deserve because of our sin, and he doth deliver, present tense. He's in the process of delivering in our life day by day, by day. And for that, we have a great, great deal to be thanking and praising God for, that he doth deliver. Let me ask you a question. Has God been faithful in your daily deliverance? He has in mine. He delivers in a multitude of different ways on a daily basis within my life. And for that, I praise him and give him thanks. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord doth deliver. Peter writes, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And those who are going to be punished, chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, and goes on and speaks of the nature of those. But God knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. Peter I want you to remind yourself of the fact that Jesus said to him, even before Christ was crucified, he said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. How many of you remember what Jesus said then? But I have prayed for you. The ministry of the intercession that Christ is doing daily in our life. But I have prayed for you. He doth deliver. He delivers us from temptation. He delivers us from the hand of the enemy. He delivers us from those things that he knows we do not have the power in and of ourselves to deal with. He is faithful to deliver us. Peter also experienced the reality that he knew a time when he was in jail only hours away from his execution. Scripture says that James had already been beheaded. Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, and he said, I'll do that again. And so he hails Peter in and has him in prison, and the next morning, Peter was going to die. But prayers were being offered up in the church. And the result was that night, there was a glorious prison break. The angel of the Lord came, literally tore that prison up, as it were, releasing Peter to be able to come out and to be freed. Peter knew about how he was able to be delivered, and he now communicates that that is still a hope for him and for all of us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, we're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, and one of the things that the Lord says we ought to pray is, deliver us from what? From evil. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 15, says that he would pray, the Father, that he would keep us from evil, literally the evil one. I want to meddle for just a second. God has made promises to us in Christ by his Spirit through the promises of his word that he doth deliver. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Now, if I say, I'll pick on myself, if I say God has given me more than I can handle, who am I calling a liar? I'm calling God a liar. He doth deliver. I want you to think about something. I think on the other side, we're going to be able to recognize this. That's another of the reasons we're going to praise him for eternity. On the other side, I believe we're going to recognize the many times he did deliver us that we were not even aware of. That's awesome to think about. How many of you ever were delayed in a trip, got on down the road, and saw an automobile accident that was perhaps a fatal? And if you think about it for just a second, maybe if you'd have gotten the car when you started to and been there, you'd have been right there when that happened. That might have been you. The Lord doth deliver. Ways that we don't have any idea, but we need to be praising him and thanking him that he does deliver on a daily basis. I know he has in my life and continues to do so. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We have been delivered from evil, but we've also been delivered from the power of sin in our life. The power of sin in our life. We have been delivered from that. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law. You're under grace. And because we have been delivered from the dominion of sin, the power of sin within our life, we can say no to the devil and make it stick. The Bible says, resist the devil, and what's the promise? He'll flee from you. We have the privilege, we have the power, we have the authority that we can indeed recognize, if we will, by faith, that the power of sin no longer has dominion over. When temptation comes, we simply say, get thee behind me, Satan. We say no, and we can make it stick and we can go forward. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, I use as an illustration of Paul having experienced the delivering hand of God in his life. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. When everybody else had forsaken him, he said, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I want to emphasize something here. This in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is Paul saying, ahead of this verse, I fought the fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, and I know that there's laid up for me a crown. He knew that he was getting close to death. But here's the interesting thing. When you read on in that chapter, even though he knows because of God's revelation to him that his time is short, there is still an attitude that he represents. He is still acknowledging God's delivering hand, and he's still doing something else. If you read in that chapter, he writes to Timothy and says, when you come, I want you to bring the books, and particularly the parchments. I want to ask you a question. If you knew you were going to die next week, would you be doing your Bible study? Would you be asking for some new books that you might study, that you might get closer to God? It's an amazing testimony to Paul as his relationship with the Lord, that even though death is near, he says, bring me a book, bring me a parchment, bring me a jacket. I don't know how long I'm going to be, but I'm going to use my time well. And he was faithful to do that because he believed the Lord doth deliver. Now you might say, but Pastor, Paul was not really delivered because he did die at the hands of Nero. What about that? Well, what about that is this. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the record of the heroes of the faith, one of the powerful portions when you get on after it finishes naming them one by one, it gets there and it begins to talk about those that had been delivered in various different ways, how God interceded. And then it says, but others. And then it declares that there were others that God having something better for them, they did not receive the deliverance here, but they received deliverance out of here into heaven. He doth deliver. We can have confidence in that. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord doth deliver. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What's the answer to that question? Yep. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit 18 inches unto his stature? Nope. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, literally the heathen, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is able to deliver. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't borrow trouble, but recognize and receive God's grace today. God has delivered, he doth deliver, and he will yet deliver us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not that only they, but ourselves also, which were the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He shall yet deliver us. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have groaned in the last 24 hours? How many of you groaned when you got up this morning? You know, there's this thing about aging. Some of you have heard this statement before. Husband and wife one morning in bed. Husband said to the wife, "I think I'm dead." She says, "What do you mean you think you're dead?" He says, "I think I'm dead." She said, "Well, you're crazy. What do you mean you think you're dead?" He says, "Nothing hurts. I'm sure I must be dead." All of creation is groaning. Is that right? Not just mankind. Listen, all of creation is groaning. When did the groaning begin? At the fall. Death has reigned even through creation all the time, right on down until today. All of creation is groaning. And that groaning that is going on, isn't it curious? Isn't it curious that in the times that we're living right now, we are bombarded through all kinds of media sensations about the apocalypse, the coming of the end, and all the ways that, you know, man is going to have to struggle to try to be a survivor in the events that are coming. So they make these movies and videos and you know, Xbox games, and I don't know what you do other than suppose you use your thumbs, because I've never done it. But anyway, you do all these things, and all of creation is groaning, saying, "This, there must be something terrible coming. So we better get ready." You know what? We have a message to give them. That groaning that is going on, there is a deliverance that is out of that, and it comes only through Jesus Christ. Someone who's struggling to try to make themselves comfortable in all the things in this life, trying to minimize their groaning and do what you can with what you've got. But listen to me, day by day you're going to get older and older and you're going to die. And if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, your groaning is going to end up with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. There is a hell to be spurned. As a believer, we have the promise, and this is something he has addressed. We are yet to be delivered. And as we are delivered, what a glorious thing it is to receive the promise that we shall be delivered. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you." Was he telling the truth? What else did he promise? "And if I go and prepare a place for you," what? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is a deliverance yet to come. We are going to be delivered out of here. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "Being confident and willing, rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." How many of you can get excited about that? Say, "I wish I could quit groaning." There is a way out. We are yet to be delivered. That is going to come. God has promised. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. You're familiar with this. "But be reminded of the truths that are communicated in this passage in light of the days in which we're living." Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Now, we've already read that phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I've said this before. I say it again today. When Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," he is saying, "You are ignorant, and so I need to inform you something." Okay? So what he is communicating, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. The believers in Thessalonica who lost loved ones were concerned because they believed that Christ would return and should take them all home, and that they none of the believers would experience death. And so they were sorrowing, and they were sorrowing as it were without hope. And so he is kind of clearing this up for them, and in clearing it up for them, boy, does he help us and clear it up for us. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, in the same way Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, who die believing in Jesus, will God bring with him. Christ said that was going to happen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, literally precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I go to prepare, I will come, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, being caught up. Then we which are alive shall remain, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I put some book stands right here for us? Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about comfort. That we're to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Now he is talking over here. I don't want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. He says, here's how it's going to end. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You say, Pastor, if I talk to somebody about this subject of death and of eternity and the reality of hell and the punishment, I don't want to upset people. I don't want to, you know, make people discouraged or frustrated or angry. Friends, listen to me. If they do not have the hope of Jesus Christ, they have no hope. If they are not having been delivered by Christ and daily knowing his deliverance and have the faith and the promise yet to be delivered, they are still in their trespasses. They are still in their sin. And when they die, they will eternally be separated from God. We are to comfort one another with this good news. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a deliverance yet to be experienced. And that includes the deliverance from the great white throne judgment. I praise God for that. Now let me clarify something, and I'm going to just say it real quick. And that is this. Believers that know the Lord, I believe, have shared with me over the years at different times a confusion, including a fear. Did you hear me? A fear of facing judgment. Friends, we have been delivered out of the wrath of God. We have been delivered out of his judgment through Jesus Christ because he took our judgment upon himself. We don't have to face the great white throne judgment because the great white throne judgment is for the dead. Those who have never believed in Jesus Christ. As believers, we will experience the Bema throne of judgment. Our works will be examined what sort they are. And those works that are examined will be tried. And they're either going to be wood, hay, or stubble. They'll either be burned and just be ash, or there will be reward for them. And with those rewards, we cast those at the feet of Jesus as worship to him for what he hath done for us. But I praise God this morning, and I pray that you know the comfort of you have been delivered from the wrath to come. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What does no condemnation mean? None. And I've heard well-meaning pastors say, one of these days, you're going to have to face the Lord and answer all those things you've done. My Bible says, if I truly repented, believed in Jesus Christ, my sin, though it was as scarlet, has been made white as snow. Furthermore, he says, your sins and iniquities I will what? Remember no more. I will take your sin and I'll cast them where? In the deepest sea. Take them as far as the east from the west. This morning, I stand here having been delivered when I trusted in Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have experienced his deliverance day by day by day by day in my life, all my life. But since my salvation when I was 12, I've seen the hand of God delivering over and over again. And you know what my confidence is? I am yet going to be delivered out of here. Today would be a fine day. Any day would be a fine day, amen? And I'm going to go out one of two ways. I'm either going to go out feet first or head first. Okay? I had a dear brother a number of years ago from down in Oklahoma. And he says, I don't believe in the undertaker. I believe in the uppertaker. The undertaker, you know, we may experience death. Okay? That's possible. But you know what the good news is? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, he'll never die. We die believing in him, we are still alive. Amen? And to be absent from the body, leave the shell behind, present with the Lord. He delivers. And one day, we're going to be delivered out of here, listen to me, into a glorified body like the body of Jesus Christ. How many could get into that? Theresa, would you be up for a new body? George, would you be up for a new body where you could kind of kick and stand on one leg at the same time? God has promised. You know what? That one verse fired me up this week as I was reading, and I come out. Look at there. All three tenses are presented. Have been delivered, I am being delivered, and I will yet be delivered. I have been delivered from the penalty of sin. I'm being delivered day by day from the power of sin, and one day I'm going to be delivered from the presence of sin when I get in heaven. In heaven, come up and check me out and see if you can make me sin. I'll guarantee you can't. Because in heaven, there's no sin. No capacity to sin. We will be changed. Amen? This mortal to put on immortality. This corruptible put on incorruption, and we will be changed. Okay, bottom line. Have you been delivered? Listen to me. If you don't get past step one, the other two, there's no hope for you there. You must go through step one, being delivered. How do you do that? By recognizing you're a sinner, you deserve God's wrath and judgment, you cannot save yourself, but accepting God's word to be true, that Christ died for your sins, that he might deliver you from the wrath, the judgment, the penalty, the power of sin, all the things that sin has been to mankind since of all. He has delivered. And once you, by faith, repent and believe upon him, the good news is, you have everlasting life. And he's going to deliver you through all the trials and temptations that you experience in your Christian walk. And one day he's going to deliver you yet out of here. This morning, are you secure in those three senses? A day or a date that you'll live in infamy. The day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But let me say one other thing. There's another day of infamy, and that's when Adam sinned and death fell upon all mankind. But praise God for the day of deliverance and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you living in that which he's provided? Heavenly Father, we praise you for your promises. Lord, we thank you that our salvation is past, present, and future tense. It's all that we need. And Father, being all that we need, we thank you that now we can live in the victory of what has been provided for us. Lord, forgive us when we forget. Remind us, Lord, to walk and to live in faith. The just shall live by faith. Help us, Lord, to persevere in that walk, not so that we can save ourselves by our works, but because we have been saved and we know that you will deliver us. through whatever trial and testing along the way. Deliver us to the successful goal of the ministries that you've called us to. Lord, may we be faithful and give you the glory for each step along the way as you give us spiritual gifts to do your work. And Lord, you get all the glory because it's of you. And Lord, your power to make it possible in our lives. We thank you for that last tense that we are yet to be delivered. And Lord, we pray even so quickly, come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if that's the way you have for us to go out, may we go out rejoicing as we are serving you day by day, living in your deliverance and living in the victory that you provided. Father, there are a multitude of people in our community and our world that have never known the subject matter of the truth of reality of being delivered from death. And so, Lord, you've called upon us to take forth the gospel. May we go and proclaim deliverance through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to hymn number 3.